kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Bring us into God's presence. Let's just commit our time to Him. Heavenly Father, thank you that you first loved us. Because without your infinite love, this will never happen. And Lord, I pray that you will speak life into our hearts this night. Because we know faith comes by hearing the word. And we thank you now. This meeting is in your hands, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. I'd like to talk tonight about the will. And we're calling this teaching The Will. God said in Genesis, "Let us make man in our image." And that was the will of God speaking. And that is why we are, above all of God's creation, are special. Because God said, "Let us make man in our image." And that was the sovereign will of God in operation, choosing to create human beings in His image. I remember years and years ago, as a young Christian, and when I was doing my teaching in and studies in theology, we were studying the Godhead, and I was learning about the Godhead and understanding the functions of the Godhead, how that God is one and He manifests Himself as Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and trying to get one's head around these deep revelations. And it suddenly occurred to me, I've been made in God's image. And if I want to know the Godhead, then for a moment, just look at yourself. Because we have a body, soul, and spirit. And I thought, that is understanding the Godhead. And that was a great breakthrough for me. But I felt I never really wanted to share that because somehow it was bringing attention to myself, or I could actually be theologically wrong. And I happened to listen a few weeks ago to a young man on Instagram, whom I believe the Lord is using. This man, he's very zealous for the Lord and has got a very simple faith. And the debate and talk was on the Godhead. And he said, "If you want to understand the Godhead, look at yourself. You comprise of body, soul, and spirit, but you are one. Your soul or your spirit isn't separate from you. You are one." And I said, praise the Lord, I didn't get it wrong. And God revealed that to me years back, but I somehow thought it wasn't the right thing that you said. It wasn't theologically right. But of course, it is all there. God said, "Let us make man in our image." The image of what? The Godhead, three in one. And it's wonderful how God can bring these deep, profound, theological truths into something so simple to understand. And you see, when God created us, man, in his image, he also put into him a will. And there is a reason for that, as we know that God didn't want to have robots. Unlike what we are seeing today that is merging through technology and AI, all of this is designed in which to work on the will of man, to bring him as a slave, to do what Satan wants man to do. And there is the difference. And that control we call witchcraft. It's what the enemy does. He works on your will. He's trying to control the will of man. And we know that God never works that way. Even though he's sovereign, he's in complete control, he never works that way. He doesn't have to. Because God himself, God the creator and maker of all things, is enough to influence our will. Let us turn to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11. And he says in this, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. So you see, when God created the heavens and the earth, and then created man in his image, and on the seventh day he rested, he knew that everything was perfect and was to the will of God. It was all to function, to pulsate, everything to give God the glory. There was nothing there to interfere, to cause man whom he created to question God, to question his love, to question his will. None of these things were even thought about. It was all the will of God revealed and seen. And that is why he rested on that seventh day. This is my will, and it pleases me. It's perfect in every way. And the enemy, the serpent, didn't like that. Because when the serpent, when Lucifer fell, he became a controller. How do we know this? He tried to influence the angels of heaven. And he managed to influence a third of the angels. What is that revealing? His will, his control. There is where witchcraft started, in the heavens. And a third of the angels believed that he could succeed, he could take the throne of God. And immediately they were cast out of the presence of Almighty God. There is the will. And God made everything perfect. You see, part of God's attributes is that he reveals his will in creation. I've already been touching on it. But he looked and saw everything was good as he was creating it. It was all according to his will, his purpose, his plan. Even in nature, it was his will. You see, God cannot create a stone that he cannot lift. God cannot create a mountain that he cannot move. God cannot create a world that he cannot preserve and keep. God cannot create a universe that he is powerless to control. We are told that the universe, the heavens, the two heavens are within God. And yet God exists out of that. He has his own dwelling place. All according to the will of God. God cannot lie. It's not in his will. It's not in his nature. God cannot deny himself. He is absolute perfection in every form and way. He cannot die, unlike man sadly does. And we also know he cannot justify a sinner without the demands of the law being fulfilled, which only the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world could fulfill that. All the will of God in operation. He willed to create a world, a universe. He willed to create you and I. Our fellowship, our assembly, everyone you meet, your family, your children, your spouse, those you see out in the road, your neighbour, everyone, that is his will. His will was to reveal his son to the world. That was his will. Perfect timing. Born in a manger. That was the will of God. The will of God that he should be a carpenter, work with his hands, and finally go to the cross to take the sin of the world. That was the will of God. The Bible, these 66 books that we hold in our hands, is the will of God. Our love, our fellowship is the will of God. His grace, his mercy, his pardon to forgive is the will of God. To justify us and make us right, that we can stand right in his presence, is the will of God. His sovereignty, his all power, his might, his dominion is the will of God. I could just go on and on with this. And the tragedy was that man rejected God's will and makes his self-will the supreme goal of his life. And that's what happened. He rejected the will of God, and God's will said, you can have everything, just don't touch the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Have everything, but don't touch that. And of course, he did. And we know the story. And what happened? Man realized he had his own will. He could now decide his destiny. He could now decide what he would do. And the first thing he decided to do with his will was to hide from God. That was his will. Because the Lord, in the cool of the evening in the garden, called out to them. And said, they said, we are naked. He said, who's told you that? There was their will in operation. God never intended that we know such things. God never created man that he should know he has a will that will disobey God's will. Sin brought false understanding, revelation of his will. But God reserved his Son, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, was reserved precisely in which to deal with this will. And this is why Jesus, he surrendered his will in the flesh, as we know in Colossians, that he emptied himself. He took on human form. He didn't have to do that. It was the will of God, the will of his Father, that he should do what he did. And the will of the Father was Christ in God reconciling the world. There again is the will of God in operation. The will of God said, I will redeem you, I will bring you back in fellowship, in communion with me. Your understanding of God, your understanding of the Word of God, your being able to cry out to God, to pray to God, is because of his will, not yours. And that is why it is God who first loved us. It wasn't in us. The world out there isn't interested in God. They have their own will, and their own will is consumed in themselves and their thing and what they do and want to do. The world out there isn't at all interested in the will of God. Is ignorant of the will of God. And this, of course, is what sin has done. Remember, we're talking about our will. And this is why we find at times there are two wills in conflict. Remember, I did a teaching years ago on that. And it made quite a profound impact on a lot of people. It's on YouTube. But we find that there are two wills that are in conflict. And that is our overcoming. They can be the trials of our faith. They can be where God chastens us, corrects us, and so on. Often what he is doing is getting our will to harmonize with his. That's what he's doing. And that is why we say much that he's working in us both to will do for his good pleasure. You thank God when he's working with you and he's bringing your will in line with his will, harmonizing with his word. Thank him. We may not like it in the flesh, but that is our Heavenly Father. That is what our Father does, because his will is perfect in every way. This is why I say so often, God never makes a mistake. God is perfect. The way he handles you and deals with you is absolutely perfect. He knows you far better than you know yourself. We don't know ourselves unless God opens our eyes to see. And very often, he opens our eyes when we're ready to be able to receive. We're not always ready yet to be able to receive those things of God. The very fact that we are talking today about the will of God and the will of man, means that today, this day, this hour, we are ready in God's mind and heart to receive this teaching. It wasn't right yesterday or Sunday. It wasn't right last week or a year ago. It is right today. And this is why we pray for the word. We intercede for that which we hear, because what that is doing is that is the word you're to hear today. Why? Because it's the will of God. And nothing can stop the will of God. And that is why our salvation is such a mighty act of God, working on our wills, because we are willful beings. We like our own way. We want to do what we want to do. And of course, this is at times the conflict that parents have with their children. They're finding that they're up against their will. And this is where parents have to learn and learn from the Word of God and the Holy Spirit leading and guiding how to get them to do what you believe is right. And God does the same with us. And this is why we go through much trial and tribulation, of which to make it into the kingdom of God, as it says in the book of Acts. What does John chapter 1, the Gospel of John, chapter 1 and verses 12 to 13, where we see that how God works his mighty power in and through us. And here we see in verse 12 and 13, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. There we are. You are born by the will of God, not of blood, not of flesh, not of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So God opened our eyes in which to see this. And this is why I say the word of God we receive by the Spirit, not by the law of the letter. It is spiritual. It is that two-edged sword that pierces, divides asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow of the heart. This is how God does it. For what? To work on our will, so that we do his will. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's in the Lord's Prayer. Because God knows we are willful, rebellious people. We always want our own way. We want to do it our way. And that is a lot of our overcoming as Christians. Thank God that he has patience and mercy and long-suffering. We would have given up years ago, but God doesn't. The wonderful thing about prayer, if you have a prayer life, prayer is two wills coming into harmony. The finite connecting with the infinite. Isn't that amazing? And the two become one. This is why God has ordained prayer. It is for harmony. It is so that the two wills can become one. Because God knows that you have a will. And he wants your will to harmonize with his will. And that is why we stay with the Word of God and we learn the Word of God, because that is teaching us his will for our lives. And much of what you read and the promises of God's Word is appropriated as you get in prayer, with your will becoming in harmony with God's will. And that is why he's ordained prayer, for that purpose. And you know when you are in one with God, praying. You have that experience, you have at times that quickening in the spirit when you are praying the will of God. And this is why praying in the spirit, in tongues, is so powerful. Because those languages that come forth by the Spirit are praying the perfect will of God. That is the Spirit of God quickening, inspiring your spirit. And that is why the devil attacks so much on this in Christendom. Oh, tongues isn't for today. Tongues was for the time of Pentecost. Or tongues is to be interpreted. The church is so divided and confused. One is a sign and the other is a gift. The sign of the baptism that you're baptized in the Spirit is you speak in tongues. Mark 16. Then there is the gift of tongues. 1 Corinthians 12. Where that is interpreted in the church, else nobody will understand. And there's also a third, there's diverse tongues as well. But we have such confusion today. And do you know why the enemy attacks on this? Because when you pray in the Spirit, which we're told to do, you are praying the perfect will of God. Your will is in harmony with the will of God. And the powers of darkness hate that. I remember years ago when casting out a demon out of a saint. That demon spoke out of me and said, "Stop that language. I hate it." And I thought, that is interesting. They know the power of it. No, we're dealing with God's will. And God is dealing with our will. And the two have to come in agreement and harmony. Did you know that the hosts of heaven all do the will of God? Look what it says in Psalm 103, verse 20. Psalm 103 and verse 20. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding to the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. In heaven, around his throne, his angels, they are all doing the will of God. They don't question it. They don't argue with it. They embrace the will of God. They have such confidence that it is right. It is pure. It is just. It is holy. It is undefiled. It cannot bring any corruption, the will of God. And that is why he wants us also to have an affection for his will. Even if we're battling, settle it that God will be sovereign over your will, because we can all be willful at times and we can do our own thing and we wonder why it goes wrong or why we're battling in the faith or why we're not blessed. We've all been there. I have been there. But you find yourself, as you surrender under the mighty hand of God, Lord, work your will in me, both to will and do for your good pleasure. For that is where I please you more than anything, is doing your will. And if that's your heart's desire, and that is what you want, God will do it. I already said to you, God is bigger than the mountains, the obstacles in your life. He never creates anything that he can't handle or deal with. He can deal with all your unbelief, all your doubts, all your fears, all your questioning. He's greater and far bigger than all of that. And that's why it's faith. And that is why we trust him. And our faith, the goal of our faith, is to do the will of God. Let him do it. He's all powerful. He's almighty God. He's made no mistake. He's perfect in every way and whatever he does. And he's working everything to his will, his purpose, his plan. Why? Because of his glory. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Well, there we are, brothers and sisters, the will. And I think we've learned a little bit more today about God's will. Praise his name. Hallelujah.
Let him in constancy follow the master.
All lies down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus.